Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Best Man's Proposal by Winter Daniels, narrated by Sarah Sampino. Chapter 1. Nikki Hamilton's head pounded with a fierce intensity. Her eyes felt glued shut. But from her neck down, she felt wonderful. Her muscles throbbed in such a delicious way that she could almost overlook the headache. Great sex was great sex, and what she and the best man at her sister's wedding had done went beyond that, like off the charts amazing. She stretched languorously and rolled onto her side, prying her eyes open. And there he was, lying on his side, all 6 foot plus of the hottest best man she'd ever seen. The tangle of hotel sheets covered him from just below his waist down to his shins, leaving the rest of his incredibly hot form bare for her to feast her eyes upon. And feast she did. Her appetizer was his handsome face, strong jawline and cheekbones, and a cleft in his chin. She didn't usually go for that scruffy look, but the light dusting of whiskers only added to his appeal. The main course had to be those linebacker shoulders, muscled chest, and six-pack abs. Dessert was under the sheets, but damn, it had satisfied her sweet tooth. Too bad the one night with him was all she'd ever have, but that was definitely for the best. Grant Powers, recently divorced and probably still messed up from it, Grant, was 100% wrong for her. She'd say it again. The man was divorced, for heaven's sake. She shuddered. No way, Jose. Her ideal man would have no baggage in the form of an ex-wife. Not that she had any regrets about tapping that for a night. Mere minutes before the wedding, her self-absorbed boyfriend had sent her a breakup text, magically transforming him into her self-absorbed ex-boyfriend, despite the fact that he'd agreed to be her plus one, and she had shelled out the extra money for an ocean view suite in anticipation of a romantic weekend away, which meant she was officially on the rebound. Then along had come Grant, gorgeous, in that outdoorsy Patagonia model kind of way, sweet to a fault, and in the right place at the right time. Sure, she'd seen him hanging around her brother-in-law Dex before, but she'd either been so busy finishing up grad school or job hunting, she'd barely paid attention, except to briefly admire the view. Last night, she'd done more than admire. When they'd both realized neither one of them wanted anything but one no-strings night, they'd jumped at the chance, and at each other. She'd been a bridesmaid in plenty of weddings, and her wedding party partners had generally fallen somewhere between wholly unavailable and single king of the troll people. But Grant had been the perfect Mr. Right Now. After carefully easing out of the bed, she looked around and found her dress neatly hung over a chair, rather than in a wad on the floor where she'd left it. Thoughtful guy. A memory from the night before, another way he was thoughtful, put a smile on her face. Yeah, that had to qualify as the best sex she'd ever had. At least she'd always have the memory. She quickly dressed in the bathroom. Hopefully none of the other wedding party members would be out and about in the hotel yet, and she could take her walk of shame undetected. With one last glance at Grant, she tiptoed to the door and let herself out, free and clear. She hurried toward the elevator and turned on her cell. A reminder alarm dinged. She glanced at it as she stepped inside the elevator. Oh God, how could she have forgotten? The wedding breakfast was in 15 minutes. Oh yeah, she'd been too busy telling Grant exactly how to find the back zipper of her taffeta monstrosity of a bridesmaid dress. The entire wedding party would be at the breakfast, which meant she'd have to see Grant. Unless he didn't show. Maybe he'd sleep through it. Surely he would spare them both a morning after encounter and skip it. He'd probably just check out of the hotel and head straight back to Miami. Her headache all but faded, thanks to the adrenaline rush of waking up late and shirking her maid of honor duties. She hurried to her room and took the world's fastest shower. 20 minutes later, she walked into the Palm Beach room and scanned the room. No Grant. Thank God. She drew a relieved breath. The bride and groom, her sister Lucy and Lucy's spiffy new husband, Dex the accountant, sat at one end of the long table, completely oblivious to anything except each other, as it should be the morning after their wedding. Dex twirled a strand of Lucy's hot pink hair around his finger and said something to her that made her laugh out loud. Nikki spotted Aunt Bev and bent to give her a hug, breathing in her aunt's signature rose perfume mixed with eau de mothballs. Good morning.
Sit here with me.
Her aunt patted the empty chair between herself and Nikki's mother, and Nikki took it. Good news, everyone. Lucy wore a smile so big that Nikki wondered what her sister was going to say. I accepted an offer on my condo this morning. Dex kissed her.
In a few days, we'll only own one home.
Days? Nikki hoped to God Dex had misspoken. Don't you usually get a month or two between accepting the offer and closing? Lucy's nose crinkled as she winced. Nikki, I'm sorry. I know this is going to inconvenience you, but a developer is buying the whole building and planning to turn it into office space. They said they'd pay anyone who can clear out in 2 weeks a ridiculous bonus. We had to accept. We're putting off our honeymoon so we can take care of the move. 2 weeks. The thought nearly sent Nikki searching for a paper bag to breathe into. She'd been staying rent-free in Lucy's condo since graduation, mainly marking time until Lucy's wedding, after which she'd planned to put all of her efforts into finding a job in Europe, a long-time dream of hers. How the hell was she supposed to find somewhere to live on such short notice? Plus, after years of being a college student, with part-time jobs that barely covered books, tuition, and her on-campus apartment, she had almost no savings for things like security deposits. And how could she sign a lease when, if all went as she hoped with her new job, she'd be transferred to London in a few months? Lucy came over and crouched down beside her. She was the only woman in the world who could wear a black lace camisole and leather miniskirt to a morning reception and still look appropriately dressed. I know you're worried about your living situation, but please don't be. Dex and I have discussed it, and you're welcome to stay at our house for as long as you like. Thanks. I appreciate it. Nikki gave her sister a hug, but was already trying to think up other options. Living with newlyweds, invading their privacy, was the last thing she wanted after everything Lucy had done for her, like helping to pay for tuition when their mother had lost her job a few years ago. Her mom's place was so far from work, and its spare room was the size of a closet. Nikki's clothes wouldn't even fit in there. Moving in with Aunt Bev was out of the question, since she had a one-bedroom apartment in a retirement community.
Did you hear the good news?
Dex asked. Nikki turned around to see who her brother-in-law was talking to and found Grant standing in the doorway. His brilliant green eyes locked with hers with the force of a freight train, and she looked away, blushing furiously at the thoughts that flooded her mind at the mere sight of him. Damn her traitorous libido for sparking to life at the sight of the man. But could she blame it? He was pure perfection. Impossibly broad shoulders, glossy sun-streaked brown hair, and a crooked grin to die for. Even his one imperfection, a small chip on one of his front teeth, was adorably sexy.
We sold the condo,
Dex told him. In her space. Her one-night stand was in her space, and she had no idea how to handle herself, given that one-night stands really weren't a thing she did on a regular basis. She'd tell herself to act natural, but that would practically be a guarantee that she'd spaz out and dump a pitcher of juice on herself, or something equally elegant and timeless. When she ventured another glance at Grant, she noticed that his gaze kept shifting between her and Dex, almost as if he, too, were a tad bit uncomfortable.
"That's great. Congratulations,"
he finally responded, the low timbre of his voice rumbling through her very bones. "Act natural." Nikki willed the images of her and Grant naked together rolling around in the sheets from her mind. Too late, though. All that liquid heat had already taken hold. She spun back around in her seat and used her spoon to transfer the ice from her water glass into her coffee cup. And then she reminded herself of their discussion about how neither one of them had wanted more than one night. That, of course, had been before she knew he could do that thing with his tongue.
"Are you all right, dear?"
Bev asked her. Lifting her cup, she nodded. "I prefer it cold." Grant, Dex, and Lucy moved to a corner and spoke quietly, as if they were exchanging some top-secret information. Suddenly, Dex slapped his friend on the back, glanced over at Nikki, and chuckled. Dex, the buttoned-up accountant, never chuckled. This couldn't be good. Nikki couldn't stand not knowing what they were talking about. Grant wouldn't tell them about his tryst with her, would he? Alarm bucked through her. She set her coffee aside and casually made her way toward them, pretending she was checking out the items on the buffet. When she was close enough, she pretended to be obsessed with centering the little paper dollies under the teacups and tuned everything else out so she could hear their conversation.
"You've got to do me a solid here," Dex said. "My family comes over all the time. We spend every weekend with Lucy's." "My house is for sale," Grant replied. "Not that I've had the luck, Lucy obviously has, but I could get an offer at any time. The usual protocol on a sale takes a month or two. She'll be settled into her new job, and finding an apartment she can afford won't be a problem by then."
Oh, God. They were speaking about her. But she couldn't for the life of her figure out exactly what kind of solid Grant was supposed to be doing for Dex, or what that had to do with her impending homelessness, which was what they were obviously discussing. Spazzing out and dumping a pitcher of juice on herself no longer sounded like such a bad idea. At least it would give her an excuse to leave the room. Aunt Bev approached her and handed her a plate and bowl.
"Would you mind holding these for me while I go through the line, Nikki?"
She wiped her sweaty palms on her shirt. Sure. With a backward glance at the threesome on whom she'd been eavesdropping, she frowned. She tried to hear what was being said, but with her aunt pointing to this and that food item and making comments on everything from the draperies in the room to the difficulty she'd had putting on her pantyhose yesterday, it was impossible to catch a single word of their conversation. With a sigh, Nikki gave in to Aunt Bev's tidal wave of chatter and helped her to her seat. As Bev waxed on about the virtues of lacy high thighs over control-top pantyhose, the former providing an interesting and somewhat empowering visual given her aunt's age, Nikki wondered if Grant liked lacy thigh highs. She pictured his big hands sliding leisurely up her legs. A thrill rushed through her. "Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it." She gritted her teeth, but couldn't stop herself from involuntarily glancing his way again. Lucy was grinning at him, obviously excited about something, but he didn't seem to share her enthusiasm. He shook his head, shifting uncomfortably from foot to foot. Finally, he nodded, then suddenly darted his gaze to hone in on Nikki. She'd been staring. He threw her a half-hearted smile. Nikki had a sudden urge to slide under the table and wrap herself around one of the legs, like she used to when she was a kid. Back then, half the time no one noticed when she'd disappear, because usually, all eyes were on her sister, the star of the family. But since the floor refused to open up, all she could do was wait as Lucy took Grant's arm and marched him in Nikki's direction, smiling her, "I'm the big sister and I'm going to fix it," smile, which had never, in all of her 23 years, led to anything good. "Guess what?" Lucy chirped as she approached. Nikki shifted her gaze to Grant, but he merely stared over her head as if confronting a firing squad, his expression giving her no clue as to what was going on. "What?" "This is so perfect," Lucy said. "Grant's house is for sale, so this would be short term, of course. You know Dex's office is being remodeled, and we need a place to store some files, only for the next 3 months." "Okay." Nikki wondered what this had to do with her. "So instead of renting a storage unit, Dex will store the cabinets at Grant's and pay him rent." "And?" Why had Lucy emphasized the pay him rent? "Grant has 2 extra bedrooms, but Dex only needs 1 for his stuff. So you can live in the other one for a couple months, rent-free." Gulping, Nikki shook her head. "That's very generous, but..." Lucy stopped her with a hand on Nikki's wrist. "Wait, listen. He lives 2 blocks from your new job." She looked so excited to have found a place for Nikki. Of course, why would Lucy want her living with them? One look at Dex standing at the bar, watching them with an accomplished grin on his face, his chest all puffed out like the proverbial proud rooster, confirmed that he felt the same way. When he noticed Nikki staring at him, he pretended to be looking at something behind her. They weren't making this easy for her, free and within walking distance to her job, and owned by the commitment-phobic divorced guy she'd just had a one-night stand with.
"You're welcome to come take a look at the place," Grant said. "Decide then."
Bless him for giving her an out. "Yes, I'll do that," she said offhandedly to his elbow, unwilling to make eye contact again when he was so close. "When?" Lucy asked, almost before Nikki had her last word out of her mouth. "So I can tell my real estate agent when you'll be out for a couple of hours, for the buyers to do their home inspection."
"I'll be home this evening if you want to come by."
Grant folded his arms over his chest, and a memory of skimming her fingers over those bulging biceps the night before materialized in her mind. Liquid heat pooled between her legs. Her sister practically squealed her delight.
"Fantastic!"
Nikki used her napkin to wipe away the sweat on the back of her neck.
"I guess I can do that."
Fine. She'd go through the motions, jump through their hoops, then say no.
"It's like kismet."
Lucy set a hand on her chest. "Grant was saying a couple days ago that he'd love to find a short-term roommate because his neighbor, who was looking in on his cat when he works overnight shifts at the firehouse, moved out last week. Isn't that right?" The perfectly masculine Cupid's bow of his lips flattened into a thin line.
"I suppose it is."
A firefighter. Her commitment-phobic, divorced one-night stand who was tied to the city she was hell-bent on leaving was a firefighter. Because he obviously needed to add heroic profession to his list of attributes so he could be even hotter. Pun intended. God, she could so not live with this guy. She had goals. She was on the rebound. She needed to make good choices. Nikki could walk to work and save for her own place. It's perfect all the way around, like it was meant to be. Lucy rubbed her hands together, looking so delighted with herself that Nikki couldn't bear to disappoint her, especially not on her first day of wedded bliss. Right, Nikki said, offering what she knew had to be a hideously limp smile. Perfect. She raised her eyebrows at Grant. Guess I'll come by tonight. So much for the guy she'd planned to never see again. Nikki parked in front of Grant's house that evening, wishing she were the kind of person who could blithely horn in on a pair of newlyweds without guilt. She could have called Grant to cancel, moved into Lucy and Dex's place, and just gone about her life until her new boss came through with the transfer to London that he'd dangled as a possibility during her interview. But she couldn't. Being the third wheel to their new wedded bliss would just be cruel to them, and horribly uncomfortable for her. She got out of the car and looked around the sweet little neighborhood, made up of mostly older brick and earth-toned stucco homes, with varying degrees of exploding flora and fauna in the front, dotted by the occasional newly constructed single story. Lucy hadn't exaggerated the short distance to Nikki's new job. Not that it mattered. No way could she live with her one-night stand. You couldn't just be friends with a one-night stand. The awkwardness of having had sex with him would always be there, and she certainly didn't plan to ever sleep with him again to overcome it. What if his sheer physical perfection, coupled by that swoony firefighter vibe he had going on, was too much temptation, and she actually fell for him? He had an ex-wife, and enough baggage left over from that ex-wife that he'd made it very clear to her that he did not want a relationship. And truly, neither did Nikki. She was hopefully going to London, and she was not interested in heading to Europe with a long-distance ball and chain tying her down. Then there was the fact that he looked about as thrilled at the thought of Nikki moving into his place as if Lucy and Dex had offered to send a suitcase full of bedbugs with her. As she strode past the for sale sign on the lawn, she couldn't help but notice the manicured yard and window boxes overflowing with colorful blooms. Grant had a flawlessly renovated older brick home, at least from the outside. The front porch, with its bright red storm door, reminded her of model homes she'd seen in magazines. Red doors supposedly blocked bad chi, according to the feng shui book she'd read just before she'd moved into Lucy's condo. Funny how she felt like bad chi in a pair of rose-colored slide heels right now. She raised her hand to ring the doorbell, and her fingers brushed against a scratchy firespike flower bush. The rough sensation caused her to flash back to that stubble on his face, which had felt so incredible as he'd trailed kisses down her back. The erotic memory raised goosebumps on her skin. She shook herself out of it and rang the bell. Why had she agreed to this? Wasn't as if she'd actually take him up on his offer to move in with him. There had to be another, not-so-awkward answer to her housing dilemma. Was it footsteps she heard, or merely her heart thundering in dread? When he didn't answer the door, she wondered if she'd gotten the address wrong, so she checked the text message he'd sent. Right house number, and she was only a few minutes late. She knocked, gave it a few minutes, but still got no response. Well, darn. The least he could have done was be there to tell her no, or have the decency to call her and cancel. Had he seriously bailed on her? So much for Grant being a stand-up hero kind of guy. The firefighters she'd known wouldn't leave a woman abandoned on their doorsteps. Maybe it was her. Maybe the thought of living with her was so awful it overcame his natural firefighter good-guyness and had caused him to lose his manners entirely. She fished in her purse for a scrap of paper and a pen, and then started writing. Grant, I came by, but you weren't here. Sorry it didn't work out. Without bothering to sign it, she shoved it under the storm door, which opened into a glassed-in sunroom, obviously converted from what had once been a run-of-the-mill porch. Through the windows on the side, she could see into what looked like a cozy space, with plush indoor-outdoor chairs upholstered in gray and dotted with colorful throw pillows in her direct line of sight. Several potted palms obscured the rest of her view inside. As soon as she got behind the wheel of her car, though, she had second thoughts. Why let him know she'd even come by? He'd obviously assumed she wasn't desperate enough to actually stop in, or else he'd have been there. And she was only temporarily desperate. As soon as she got her first paycheck from the new job, she'd be free and clear to find a sublet. She was good at budgeting. She could live on a shoestring until she shored up her savings. But being without a home for a full month before her first check arrived, per company policy? Okay, she was a little desperate. Not that he needed to know that. Yeah, she had to take that note back. Better to let him think she'd never be insane enough to consider such a plan. She had her pride to consider. So she returned to the entryway, glanced around the neighborhood, and, seeing no one looking her way, tried the handle. Locked. Saying a quick prayer that he didn't have any nosy neighbors with itchy 911 dialing fingers, she kneeled down and peered under the door. The paper was only an inch or two away. If she could stick something long and thin through the space, she could pull it out. Rifling in her purse, she found a nail file. Perfect. On the first attempt, she missed by a fraction of an inch. She held her breath, ready to give it another try. Out of nowhere, an orange furry paw landed on the note. Before she could grab the paper, a triumphant meow let her know that Grant's cat had moved it out of her reach. Son of a... Sweat ran down her face. She wiped it away and got even lower, hoping to get a better visual. Here, kitty, kitty. The damn cat was nowhere in sight, nor was her note. Aw, seriously?
Looking for something down there?
Oh, God. She knew that honey-smooth, deep voice. Squeezing her eyes shut, she imagined what she must look like, on all fours, butt up in the air, peeking under his door. The very picture of elegance. I can explain, she said to the ground.
Please do. This ought to be interesting.
Sitting back on her knees, she found Grant standing beside a wheelbarrow, wearing nothing but a pair of running shorts and a navy-colored Mets baseball cap. Every tanned and toned inch of him glistened with sweat, his dark hair damp with it, and a few strands falling in his eyes. A streak of dirt ran down the center of his belly, just above the waistband of his shorts, as if it was directing her gaze to the bulge between his legs. For a moment, she forgot how to breathe.
Well?
She startled at his demanding tone. With a sigh, she pushed herself upright and stood. He was really ridiculously good-looking. He probably thought she was here to stalk him, all of her talk of not wanting to get involved be damned. She did her best to move her face into something resembling bored nonchalance. Your cat stole my... a piece of paper. Narrowing those brilliant green eyes at her, he set his hands on his hips. A smile played at the corners of his perfect lips, and she wanted to smack herself at the relief coursing through her that he wasn't annoyed by her mere presence.
The cat that's behind that door somehow managed to take what is apparently a very important paper from you?
She gulped. This was just digging her in deeper. If you'd open the door and let me get it, I promise I'll leave and never bother you again. We can tell my family I was here. It didn't work. End of story. He bit his bottom lip and smiled, a full-on, crinkle-the-stupidly-pretty green-eye smile, and she could feel the fake, bored nonchalance literally melt off her face. Amusement shone in his eyes, making him look even sexier than usual.
Door's open. Help yourself.
He reached around her to take the handle, turned, and gave it a shove.
Sticks a little, though.
Open? Seriously? She mentally smacked herself. Grabbing a towel from the handle of the wheelbarrow, he wiped those strong arms, that muscular chest, and handsome face. She couldn't look away. Since when was she incapable?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?